Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:34 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is December 19th. And I thought that today, considering that we are in the last 2 weeks of the year, that it would perhaps be time to start thinking about the tax implications of what happens in the last 2 weeks of the year, and not least because everyone is considering what is the new US administration going to bring in, and any threat from the Electoral College that was being hypothesized is being brushed away today, considering that the new administration will certainly include President Trump. When we look at the US tax code, it is incredibly complicated. It is Byzantine by any measure, and any move to simplify it would be pro-growth, would be certainly very beneficial for corporations, and not least if the overall tax rate is reduced from a world-beating 35% to something that is more competitive, like 15%. And of course, that is what has been part of the reason why stocks have been rallying so powerfully over the last few weeks. But in the last 2 weeks of the year, it's a very different question that people will be asking. If someone was lucky enough to have been to have owned Nvidia all year long, then they'd be up 200%. That represents a significant corporate capital gains tax. And how do you mitigate that? Well, you could crystallize losses that you would have in other parts of your portfolio, and that's part of the reason that we get some shares beginning to accelerate lower in the latter weeks of the year, that people are crystallizing the losses so that they can write it off against some of their gains if they indeed choose to take some of their profits off the table. And that book squaring exercise can result in some shares accelerating lower while others then begin to roll over, having already accelerated higher. When we look at what have been the best performing shares on the S&P 500 this year, Nvidia obviously stands out, but then it is almost entirely in the resources and oil sector that represent the rest. Martin Marietta Materials has rallied very impressively and has joined the ranks of the top 10. In the worst performers, the vast majority are in the biotech and the pharmaceutical sector overall, with of course the two big exceptions being TripAdvisor and First Solar. Now, TripAdvisor is one of a number of companies that is looking for a reason or a way to make money and is being beaten to the punch by other companies. There is a clear differentiation between the winners and losers in the online travel retail sector. So, for example, you can book your trip on TripAdvisor, but of course you can do the same thing on a whole range of other services, and their shares are doing significantly better, not least Expedia and Priceline. When you look at First Solar, then they are in a very difficult environment overall. The pace of technological innovation is so incredibly quick in solar, and despite the fact that installations are coming in at an historically high level this year again, then the solar manufacturers are in trouble because the pace of innovation is so quick that, having invested large amounts of money in manufacturing capacity, they now find that it is obsolete in many cases. And that does represent a challenge overall, that they spent an awful lot of money to expand, and then technology has improved to an extent that it is just now losing money and virtually worthless. So, as consumers, we're all likely to benefit from enhancements in solar productivity, but that does not necessarily mean that investing in the manufacturers of solar cells is going to be the way to benefit from it in an investment perspective. And the clear outperformance of solar inverter companies this year has really thrown, I think, a great deal of light on what is a sector that is doing well. It is kind of like selling picks and shovels in a mining boom, because every single solar cell needs an inverter to convert DC to AC, and that's regardless of what kind of solar cell it is. So those types of companies have been doing better, whereas the manufacturers of solar cells have not. interesting that Comerica coming in here at the end of the top 10 best performers is in some way related to the financial sector. Now, when we look at the very impressive move in the banking sector overall this year, the vast majority of it has happened in the last 6 weeks. There are clear reasons for why banks should be doing better, and but this has been an incredible advance overall. This is a clear acceleration. There is therefore quite a considerable potential for mean reversion overall. But considering that the index had been doing so very badly for the first part of the year, and this is a total reevaluation of what is possible, then I suspect that this any pullback that might occur is likely to represent a consolidation and a potential entry opportunity overall. And it is because we're getting this breakout in the dollar index that the dollar index has cleared 100, and it continues to look like a bullish pattern overall. So compared to the dollar, other currencies just do not look great right now. The dollar now has among the highest interest rates in the world, and I think only behind Australia and New Zealand. Despite the fact that Australia has got a, on a relative basis, a relatively high interest rate, the likelihood of Australia raising rates, it looks really quite unlikely, considering that they are much more influenced by what happens in China than what happens anywhere else, and that Australian dollar looks like it has now encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean and is likely to move lower. That is acting as at least a partial tailwind for the stock market, and it is rising in nominal terms. But of course, if you look at it in US dollar terms, then you get a very different picture overall, and that does help to highlight the I think it's an important fact that we are no longer in an environment where investors can invest outside their home country and get the surety of both capital market and currency market appreciation. That hasn't been the case for a number of years now, and with the potential for the dollar to continue to rally, then the question of currency is going to become a much bigger question overall. The resources sector has been the clear beneficiary of bargain hunting this year. But when we look at it on a weekly basis, we can see that it is a bit overbought and that there is potential for a pullback in consolidation overall, and that was a weekly key reversal on the ASX 300 resources index last week. Copper, having done so incredibly well, is really at risk of a pullback and a consolidation, and people beginning to state, and I think this is an example of a market where, having done so spectacularly well in a very short period of time, people are now looking to begin to take some profits. And it is a pretty similar story when we look at some of the other industrial metals. Aluminium, for example, had done equally well over the year, but is at risk of a further pullback and a consolidation. It isn't nearly as overextended on the upside as some of the other industrial metals. And got a bit of heavy fingers and I'm typing. But zinc, for example, has done spectacularly well this year, doubling just about this year, and is at risk of at least some consolidation, not least as we are in just the last couple of weeks of the year. When we look at the oil price, then so much in the commodity sector is going to be dictated by what happens with oil, and it continues to consolidate really above the upper side of the range that persisted for the last 6 months. And there is a short-term overbought condition, but that's largely irrelevant considering that it is a rangy environment overall, and that the much more important consideration is that it is consolidating above the previous highs. And as long as it does that, then it doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation. It would really require a very clear downward dynamic to signal a failed upside break overall. And of course, one of the markets that has been so very clearly sold off has been precious metals. And platinum had a good day on Friday, and it was certainly weaker in here today. But what we can also see is that it is a clearly defined downtrend, and that really for platinum, it is going to be a sustained move above 950, would even begin to suggest that we're getting more than short-term steadying. Gold's downtrend for the last few months has been incredibly orderly overall, and there is a clear progression of lower rally highs. So 1175 is going to be, I think, a price that a lot of people will be looking at, because it would be a move above that would break the short-term progression of lower rally highs. And I'm looking at these things very, very closely, because in this sort of interregnum period that we get between Christmas and New Year, then we do have the potential for reversals. Something that also is very much to the forefront of my mind is that over the last few years, and I think we really should look at it over on a weekly basis and look at what happens in the first week of the year. Because last year we had a very sharp pullback. Then in 2015, prices didn't really do much at all. We had a sharp pullback in the first couple of weeks of 2013, and then support was found and the price rallied rather impressively. We had a big move on at the beginning of the year in 2013, and people were chasing it for much of the rest of the year. We had a big move at the beginning of 2012, and people were chasing it for much of the rest of the year. It was a very similar story in 2010. Prices had been rallying, and then they just kept going for at least the next few months, and then moved into a very volatile period. And now, if we look at what's been happening just the last few months, we can question, well, which one of those years is it most similar to? 2014, we had a very big move from September all the way through to the beginning of the year, and then a sharp pullback before prices ranged around and then spent much of the year doing not much of anything. Then I wonder, what are we going to have in the first week of this year? What we certainly know is that we've had a big move overall, that the market is largely levitating at a very at a rather elevated level overall. And then there is the potential that we get a pullback and a consolidation perhaps in the first week of the year. So I think, these are some of the risks that we have out there. And my phone is ringing, and I'm really trying to turn it off. When we look at these short-term overbought conditions, then we have to consider that there is potential for a pause in consolidation as people get their bearings and as some book squaring takes place. When we look at some of the bond markets where we have had very large moves overall, then equally, this is a very deep short-term oversold condition, and we are getting perhaps the first evidence that support is beginning to come back in here. I think 2.5% on the 10-year yield in the US is perhaps high enough that people will start to think about perhaps bargain hunting in the bond markets overall. Even if one has a very bearish attitude overall, and I think that there is certainly room to make the argument that the lows are in for the yields, then there is still potential for a rally in prices just to unwind some of the short-term oversold condition overall. And when we look at Europe, next year is going to have a lot of political machinations, and we can have quite a bit of volatility. But it is hard to argue with the fact that Euro Stoxx Index has broken the medium-term downtrend overall, and that the euro is extending its decline below 105, and it decreased a little bit further and wound Friday steadying. Overall, it's hard to imagine why there should be a strong euro, considering what the political background is, and that would certainly. If we do get an additional decline, then that is likely to boost nominal prices overall. When we look at the Chinese market, then what we are presented with is a currency that is still declining. They are spending a great deal of money in arresting the speed of that decline, but and reserves have, and it is interesting that we're seeing such wide estimates on just how much Chinese reserves have contracted, anything from a half a trillion to a full trillion over the last year. What we do know is that they are contracting, that it is costing money to hold the renminbi at this level. The fact that Bitcoin is so very strong and that the vast majority of demand for Bitcoin is coming from China suggests that there is continued demand for a safe haven. And I think that Chinese people are worried about a devaluation overall. And that is beginning to weigh on the stock market, and not least because of the pullback that we've had in the bond markets in China. But of course, those are China-specific questions, and perhaps the bigger question overall is that the strength of the US dollar and the turn in the interest rate environment for the USA, the fact that you could have an uptick in growth, fueled perhaps by fiscal stimulus, then it makes the US a more attractive place and perhaps a more business-friendly environment overall. That could start hoovering up dollars from all over the world, and perhaps that is a much more important point relative to some of these emerging markets, and not least China, that perhaps these markets are in fact responding to. The Indian rupee, for example, today has stopped appreciating, and then we've seen that the dollar has found support in the region of the trend mean. It is, I think, 50-50 whether the highs for the dollar or the lows for the rupee are in fact going to hold, considering that there is so much upward pressure on the dollar overall. The Indonesian market was also interesting in here today. And I think, you know, it was something that I talked about on Friday, and I showed a number of charts. But the risk is that we get additional currency volatility in the emerging markets. That when we look at a number of these charts, that they spent most of the year appreciating versus the US dollar, and that does now look like it is over. I think that that is perhaps something that is really going to have to be considered for the balance of this year, and potentially it could be a theme for next year overall. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.